Thank you for joining us on Warrior Women Speak. I'm Judge Rosemarie Aquilina, author of Just Watch Me, and I'm joined with my co-host, Sherry Botwin, LCSW, social worker and trauma specialist, and author of Thriving After Trauma, Stories of Living and Healing. We have created this podcast for your enjoyment and so that we all can talk about our issues and learn together about how to deal with trauma and those things that spring up in our everyday life. Please join us for every episode and let us know what you want to talk about. Now for the show. Sherry, I'm so happy to talk with you today. We had a bit of a tragedy in our family, and some people won't think it's a tragedy, but for us it is, and certainly for my daughter. She has three cats. One of them, the youngest, is a kitten, unrelated to the other two that are mother and son. She has a kitten, and the kitten is just the cutest thing. She had this cat always sleep with her, slept under the covers with her, on her shoulder while she was putting her makeup on, like her best friend. She calls this kitten her best friend because they're so bonded. She has a boyfriend she lives with, and the other two cats are bonded more to him. The kitten that she is bonded with ends up having a blood issue where it needs transfusions, and that's an expensive proposition. So she called me crying. And so I spent about $4,000 on this cat, the most expensive fur coat ever, is what I called it jokingly. And I just had to save this cat. And so they get donor cats and they gave fresh blood to this kitten. And they thought that it was because of some fleas that apparently affect cats. The cat was fine. After about 10 days, it was not fine again. I met her at the kitty hospital emergency room, and they discovered that the cat wasn't producing the red blood cells and wasn't going to make it. And we could have given it more transfusions, but first of all, it's too expensive, and second, painful, and third, the cat was not going to survive. And I asked the doctor, is this like a kitty leukemia? And they said, no, it's not a leukemia, but it does act like that. So my daughter held her cat, and after she was ready, they injected the cat, and the cat slowly faded away. My daughter's grieving. They've buried the cat. She goes to the gravesite to visit it. And I did a little bit of research on this, and researchers explained that the grief associated with the loss of a pet is really still unrecognized and underappreciated. So the coping mechanisms and the people who are around those grieving really aren't readily available. And I can tell you that it has affected her as much as losing a human being. So we talked, you and I, and I just thought this can't just be in our family. It has to be in many families. And I know you've lost a pet and you've talked about that pet. So how long did it take you to go through that grief? And what are some of the things people can do? I think we really need an open discussion about that.
I mean, it's funny as you say that, because right before you told me you wanted to do this show on this topic, I moved out of my office. And one of the only things that I took home with me and didn't take to storage was this picture of my dog, Chloe. Chloe came to work with me and live with me for 11 years. So when you talk about like your daughter's connection to her kitten, one of the things that I find with people with pets is that, like you said, it's like losing a family member. It's like losing, for me, it felt like I lost a baby when I lost Chloe. And it will be 12 years in January since she passed. And I still, it's hard for me to explain, but it's almost like if I, like, I'm looking at that picture now, at when I look at that picture, the feelings are still like, she just passed away. It's not that they feel raw, but it's almost like a heartbreak. That's how I describe it to people. It feels like a heartbreak. And again, what you're describing with your daughter is she was loving that little kitten as if it was her baby. She doesn't have kids, right?
Right. Right.
I didn't have kids when I had Chloe. What I'm finding with a lot of people, especially during COVID, is a lot of people who are in their 20s and 30s who either are single, don't have kids, or are going through something difficult. A lot of people are getting pets because they provide us with such a sense of comfort and security. So when you lose that furry friend, it's hard for me to even put into words still. I still struggle to talk about it. I still, when I work with clients and they come in telling me about their pets, because obviously I've been through many people losing pets at work, there's a part of me that wants to just sort of run out the door. I don't want to talk about this. I can't do this. It's too sad. You know, so when you were talking to me about doing the show, there was a part of me that wanted to say to you, I think I'm going to pass on that one. How about you do that one without me?
Yeah. Because no, we need your input.
But I think again, when you're describing what your daughter's experiencing and she just lost her kitten, it hasn't been that long. And I think two people are so quick to say things like, it was just a cat, it was just a dog, but it's not. It's an uncomplicated, heartbreaking loss. When you bury a cat, you don't have feelings of anger and conflict, and you don't feel unfinished. That's not what it feels like when you lose a pet. It's like literally like your heart is breaking. Even if she only had the kitten for a few weeks, it wouldn't matter. She's clearly bonded with that cat. And I think, and I haven't talked to your daughter, but if you were to ask her, what does this loss represent? I feel like she probably would say, that kitten was like my best friend. That kitten was my baby. And for people,
she says, best friend, how can I do this to my best friend? And I said, your best friend is in pain.
Oh.
When it happened, you know, the cat was wrapped in this blanket. She brought it into the hospital with, and she just sat there and hold it in. She was holding it and rocking back and forth. And it was exactly what you described, like losing a baby. And I know that when I was 18, when I was 17, I lost my grandfather, and I thought I'd never get over that. We've talked about that. I'm still not over it. I don't know if you ever get over loss, but I can deal with it. But then when I was 18, I lost the cat that I had had for about a decade. And for me, I understood the cat was in pain. He ended up getting some kidney stones, and I don't know. I didn't want to see him in pain. And that was really tough. Now, the mistake that my mother did, because she's not close to animals, it's something she can't relate, but she has granted us that privilege of having pets. What she did is took my younger siblings and they got a new cat. They didn't ask me, they didn't invite me, and they didn't consider the effect. And I could not look or hold or touch that cat for months. And I was grieving and I was angry. And I never really warmed up to that cat because it wasn't mine and I wasn't ready. And I did a little bit of research on this just because of what my daughter was going through. And they actually, at the MSU Animal Hospital, they had some pamphlets about grieving and things you can do. But one of the things that I read about was Dr. Kenneth Doka, D-O-K-A, who's a leading grief researcher, coined the term disenfranchised grief, which is undervalued grief. And he started researching that 30 years ago. I don't know why we haven't come forward with that, but ultimately it's the inability to view a pet loss in the same way as we view other losses. And you described it perfectly. It's like losing a baby. It's like a miscarriage or losing a newborn or losing, you know, a human because of the value of animals. You can get a free cat or dog or bird or whatever it is. It's not about the money. It's about the love, comfort, and joy they provide.
And, you know, a lot of people struggle when you were talking about how sick her kitten was, your daughter. and feeling like, how could I do this to my own cat? How can I allow the vet to put this to euthanize? This is a whole nother thing too. I remember struggling with this, and I've talked to so many people. A part of us feels like we are killing our pet. Just like when somebody has a miscarriage and they say, I'm the reason that I lost that baby. I caused that. So I feel like what you're, again, you're talking about is there's so much love and connection with this pet. And then unlike with humans, we sometimes we have to make the choice to put them to sleep because of like what you're saying. If the cat is suffering, if there's not any hope that the cat is going to improve with these expensive treatments, it doesn't make sense. And there are people I know that will struggle to make that choice because they feel like I can't do that to my pet. But the thing is, in a way, your daughter, you know, she's giving her kitten a gift by saying, I love you so much that I'm going to end the suffering for you now. And I think as humans, if we could make that choice for some people, we probably would do that. So you're talking about two things. You're talking about the pain and the guilt that comes from having to make the choice to stop fighting, but you're also talking about how in society, there's not really an understanding about what it means to lose a pet. And when you say, how come this study that you're talking about hasn't been talked about? It's a good question, because it seems like there's so many people in this world, more people have pets than don't, I feel like. So why aren't we taking it more seriously? And why are, like with your mom, it's almost like she was trying to just replace the one cat with another. If you break up with your boyfriend and you start dating somebody the next week, you're probably not going to stay with the guy that you're dating. It's too soon. It's the same thing with a pet. Occasionally I meet people and they'll say to me, we're going to get a puppy because we can't deal with the loss and we need to replace it. But if you're making that choice, that's one thing. But in your situation, to just sort of be given or handed another animal in a home where you're a kid and you don't have a say, that just adds to the sadness and to, I don't want to call it trauma because I don't necessarily think it's trauma like we talk about on the show, but it invalidates the connection that you had with the pet that you just lost.
And my mother explains it, because we've talked many times, because, you know, we have animals around us all the time and we have a couple of dogs and I want to get another cat. And for me, my daughter doesn't live with me anymore. So she had the three cats. Now she's got two. But when I see them, I'm like, oh, I want another cat. I just love the connection with the animals. And they're so soothing. When you have a bad day, they're there for you. Like, they know when my dad, who has Parkinson's, has a bad day, the dogs go lay with him. My dad might not say I'm having a bad day. He might not even realize he is, but the dogs do. And within an hour or two, he'll feel better. They do something. I mean, that's why service dogs are so important. But, you know, that bond that we form with pets is so very real. And my mother says, look, I'm a war child. I didn't form bonds like that because they, you know, they lost so much in the war. And so for her, it was really, they were in survival mode. And she says, I think that we just didn't have pets and I don't know how to connect with them because of being a war child and what she went through, which I certainly understand, but at least she's given us the grace to have animals and she will help us take care of them begrudgingly because she's like, why do I have to do this? You know, and the cats love her because she's such a gentle person and animals are drawn to that. Yeah. But there is this super dynamic responsibility with animals, but there is also that huge dynamic relationship that is formed between owner and animal, that animals are not replaceable. Like a human's not replaceable. You can love another human, you can love another animal, but replacement is really harsh. And it also doesn't give somebody time to grieve, and they need to grieve.
And I think you need to grieve. What was the role of this pet in my life? Whether it was 1 week, 1 year, or 10 years, what purpose did it serve? So for many people, you receive gifts from the love that you can give an animal. So one of the things that I found out, and I've talked to many people about this, earlier in my life, I felt like I was incapable of giving love. I didn't think, if you come from a home that is abusive, how are you going to be able to nurture and love something else that's vulnerable? So I really did think that I'll never want to have kids. I'll never be able to do this. And I've talked to many clients about this through the years. When I got Chloe, and I'm thinking of somebody else that I worked with recently, and she was about 23 when she got her dog. I was about 27 when I got Chloe. When we talked in our sessions about how her having that dog proved to her, I don't have to have had a nurturing mom and dad to know what it means to nurture something that's vulnerable. So when we talk about the loss of a pet and we think about the role, or the, it's probably not just one thing, but the purpose, the roles of this pet, I think it's really important as you're going through the grieving to acknowledge what changed. You know, what happened after you got your dog? For me, I was able to write about it. I was able to talk about it. And because I brought Chloe to work, I had clients who didn't know a lot about my history, but they knew that that dog meant something super special to me, that they watched me tend to Chloe. She was diagnosed with a congestive heart failure when she was 8. She was in the ICU 3 times. So she ended up living for another 2 to 3 years, but they knew that I was super attached to this dog. And Chloe was very, very good attached. I don't even know what word you would use. She was very nurturing to people around me. So to be able to give her that, to be able to watch that she could give that to my clients and my friends, I think it's so important, like for your daughter. And I don't know if your daughter's at a point where she's starting to feel more like she wants kids. For me, that's what it did, but yeah.
You know what she said, which is interesting, because everybody grieves and resists these losses in their own way. And I said, you know, when you're ready, of course, I'm going to struggle paying this $4,000 debt off because I don't have money laying around, but I value my daughter enough to say, okay, I'm going to go into debt for you. And we tried, and I think she respects that. But I said to her, are you ready for another kitten? You could actually go where that cat came from and maybe get another one from the litter, so it's the same breed and all of that. Anyways, and she said to me something interesting that really helped her, which is when, and the cat's name was Fishy. When Fishy's ready to return to me, I will know, and Fishy will come back. And she's sort of thinking in the mind of reincarnation. Now, she believes in God and all that, but she's like, you know, his spirit's going to live on in another cat and going to find me, because that's how attached we were. And that's really helping her. And I can't say, I'm not sure about reincarnation. And it can sound silly to some people, but she's having, that's the way she is dealing with it. Like, he's going to come back to me. I'll know the right time. There'll be another cat that finds me, because this cat literally found her.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they were meant to be together for, you know, the 9 months they were together. And I just thought that was just an interesting response.
It's sort of her, it's like her way of managing with a loss that feels unmanageable. It's her way of staying connected to this furry little friend that she's not, certainly should not have had to let go of so soon. I kind of understand what she's saying, because I don't think I spoke like that with Chloe, but through the years after I lost her, I remember when I was trying to get pregnant and when I first met Andrew, I think I might have said this to people too. I feel like somehow Chloe is a part of this, because Chloe was with me through all the fertility treatments. So I mean, I don't know exactly what she's saying, but I feel like what she's saying is what I've done. When you lose something that's so meaningful, you don't replace the cat. You find other cats or whoever, people, dogs that are like an extension of the pet that you have lost. So it's almost like Fishy's never going to leave my house. Like that cat will always be with me. And she's saying, I think what she's saying too is, I'm not ready to get another kitten right now. I need to work on figuring out how to just keep myself from my heart shattering, and like moving forward and finding a way to have that little cat in, like almost like she's internalizing it. And when she feels at peace with that, then she's going to end up getting another kitten probably. That's kind of how I hear it.
Yeah. You know what? What I thought was interesting about it is, you know, I believe in God and that we don't just go away. We're out there, and that, you know, the people we love are still with us. They're just in a different form. We've talked about that on other shows. And I think that's really where she's coming from. Like you, this cat, the true being of who he was inside is still living on, and she will get to know him in other ways, but will come to her again through another cat. A little different way of thinking, but you know, whatever comforts someone when they're grieving. I have to say a sad story. I have an uncle who ended up going through some depression and some other issues. So he had a cat, and this cat got lost, believe it or not, for 2 years and came back home. It was just one of those stories where the cat found him a home, and they were reunited, and my uncle was just so over the moon and happy, but still went through some depressive moments, and then started having suicidal ideation, and would say to me, when Nunna, my grandmother, his mother, dies, and when the cat dies, I will go too. And I kept saying, you know, we need you to stay here, and doing all those things. But when someone really wants to commit suicide, it's, you know, a whole other topic. But he was so bonded to this cat that when the cat went a few weeks later, so did he. And I think that is really the remarkable part of pets, is that we can humanize them, because sometimes they're our only friend. They're our self-care. They go through the highs and lows with us. And he was such a sensitive human being. And he was a nurse, and he also worked in a unit where a lot of patients that he got close to died. And I think the cat just put him over the edge where he could not recover. I remember when he called and told me goodbye, and I didn't realize it was a goodbye. Told me, you know, I'm really proud of you, and, you know, all these other things. And he was supposed to meet my brother the next day, so I didn't really think anything of it, even though I knew he was going through something. And the next day we found out he was gone. Now, you know, suicide's a whole other topic we should talk about at some point, but that connection that he had with the cat kept him alive probably a lot longer than if he didn't have that cat.
Again, what you're describing is like when people sometimes when they lose their husbands or their wives, and then you hear that they pass on a few months later, it's a indescribable, hard for some people to understand bond. And anybody who's struggling with issues with depression or post-traumatic stress disorder, abandonment issues, whatever the issues are, pets have so much meaning. And I think, again, it's so important that we talk more about what it means to have a pet and what it means to lose a pet, because I think what you're describing is, for some people, they keep us going. They keep us. I mean, I could tell you many stories of times when I would just look at Chloe and that would shift my mindset, because I would be so on the edge of doing something stupid or self-destructive. And then I would look at her and think, yeah, but I want to hang out with her. I love her. And I never understood what it meant to love a pet, just like I never understood what it meant to love a baby until I had one. Once you have one, you can't really, it's hard to describe. And I think when we were getting ready to talk about, to do the show and talk about this topic, I was doing some reading about how does one actually grieve the loss of a pet? And the suggestions were very similar to when you lose your best friend, your husband, even your baby. It said all the same things. Do tons of self-care, have a funeral, write in your journal, have an area of your home. I had in my condo where I lived until I lived here up till last year, I had literally a Chloe corner. I called it the Chloe corner. I had all these pictures and her ashes and all these things. I still have her bed, and my cats now, Gigi and Sophie, they fight over who's going to sleep in that bed. Of course, Gigi usually wins because he's the big orange guy and he rules the show, but it provides me with so much comfort sometimes to just look at my cat in Chloe's bed. And I think that if you try and just, like, I don't know with your uncle, I don't know if he could talk about what he felt when he lost that cat. And again, what you're saying is your grandmom and that cat were his source of light and strength. And without those two things, he felt like there was no purpose. Obviously, no one would ever want that for him. And that's terrible to have to feel that way. But I think if you don't really deal with these feelings, you could become that depressed over the loss of your pet, even if you didn't have depression before.
Yeah. And well, and something I learned going through this with Johanna is that there are pet support groups. Yep. When you lose a pet, which, you know, I just didn't occur to me. And I'm smart enough to know that, I think, but I'm like, why didn't I cerebrally think about that? And there's also pet loss hotlines. I think the ASPCA has one. Mm-hmm. It's 877-GRIEF-10. And they do that. You know, I think it's 24/7. It's at least 12 hours a day, if not 24/7. I don't know. But there's Lap of Love. There are any number of resources in various communities to support animal grief and loss. And also, so many animals suffer. And, you know, if you don't have your pet anymore, I mean, pets are expensive and maybe you're not going to get one for a while. Take the $20 a week or whatever it is you spent on food or vet care and donate it to a shelter, donate it to keep another animal alive, because there's so many that are suffering and maybe that will help. Or even to plant, a tree or a catnip plant or something, so that, you know, you're doing something in their honor. You can make a memory book. I actually have made memory blankets. You can take pictures and then they put them on blankets and they're really cool looking, so you can wrap yourself in them. I mean, there's so many things you can do.
Oh, it's funny that you say that, because I forgot about this until just now, but in my office, I also had a Chloe pillow. It's sitting over on, well, I can actually see it. It's sitting on my sofa. So after she passed away, somebody else took a picture of her and they made a pillow out of it.
I was just going to say, I thought about doing that for Johanna, but I was in the mall meeting someone for lunch at the Cheesecake Factory and I passed by Things Remembered. And I don't know, it's just struck me. So I asked Johanna, can I have a picture of your cat? Because they will put like a 3D glass etching or something. I don't know. I didn't investigate it yet, but it's, I saw these wonderful pictures of kids and dogs and cats in this, it looks like a paperweight. And I thought, well, I'm going to give that to her for Christmas so she can have that on a shelf. Cause they do a nice job. I have to explore it. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen that, but I can imagine what you're talking about. I think what you're talking about too is the comfort we can get from having an object, whether it's something we can look at or something we can hold that represents this pet's life, because I think that's so important. Something that I think people struggle with grief in general, people, pets, I think what people do, and it drives me nuts, but as a therapist, I get this. Somebody dies, we lose a pet, everybody's all supportive and wants to know how you are for like maybe the first week. And then it's like, nobody talks about it anymore. Nobody asks, nobody wants to reminisce. So I think when it comes to a pet, having things like a pillow or a picture or something, even if you were the type of person that never wanted to talk to your daughter, which I know you're not, but even if that were the case, if she has something that she can use to reflect on the memory of her cat, that's going to provide her with comfort. And that's going to make her feel like, even if other people aren't going to ask me or talk to me about it, I can think about it. I can take this time to be with my feelings, because grief can be very isolating, can be very, very alienating to feel something that you feel like others don't understand. But I think that's a great way to show her that you do.
So I want to ask you, like, if somebody out there, maybe they have young children. I mean, my daughter's 22 and, you know, she's going to deal with it how she deals with it, and I'll be there to support her. But for young kids who might not understand it, and you're not ready to get them a pet, or maybe they don't want a pet, they don't want to go through that pain again. Would you recommend, because I have a couple of thoughts and I want to hear what you, the expert, has to say, which is one, to donate their time to a shelter, because you can go and play with animals who are locked in cages and, try to reconnect, but also maybe once somebody has a new pet, to give them a pet journal so that when they do something cute, they write the story and take a picture and put it, so that when that cat dies, because ultimately most pets don't, well, I don't know of any pet that lives as long as a human. So there's going to be a loss after 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, even 20 years, whatever it is. And so you can then go back and say, oh my gosh, I remember this. And then have that be part of the memorial, but in a very real way, because it's so real when you wrote it. And then when you're ready, you can go back and re-explore it.
Funny that you say that, because as you were talking, I was actually thinking about that, how sometimes being able to spend time with other pets or finding a way to connect with pets, even if it's not your pet, can be actually a wonderful thing for kids. I don't know if you know this, but some of the schools are starting to bring pets into the schools too, as part of the pet therapy. I think what you have to do with kids, and I think maybe this is something I wish somebody had sat down and explained to me, is when you get a pet, you explain to them, depending on how old they are, but you need to explain to them the difference between a pet and a person is oftentimes we will outlive our pet, to kind of just know that they're here for a limited period, but they're not necessarily going to be in our kids' lives when our kids are getting married or having kids. I think to explain to them gently the idea that, like any type of a loss, this is one that, not that you should have to expect it, but that it's just sort of part of the relationship, that when you get a pet, the understanding is you're going to have that pet until the pet passes.
Yeah. You know, something else for people to think about, there are families who have all sorts of animals and children. And then the parents file for divorce, and you shouldn't be in an unhappy relationship if you don't want to. But the animals need to be taken care of, not fought over. And it's my feeling, and everybody in the whole world can disagree with me, but I did thousands of divorces and had hundreds of cases where we fought over the custody of animals. And it was always really my feeling that the animals should go back and forth with the children, because it's the children are suffering not only the loss of the two parent household and feeling some sort of guilt, like, what did I do wrong? Which they did nothing wrong. The relationship is about the adults, not the children. The divorces, I should say. And so they still have a good relationship, hopefully, with mom and dad, but in two separate houses. But those animals should not be with one parent and not the other. They should be considered the children's and go with them, because that is part of, I think, the children's healing, to know that those animals are safe, secure, and they can comfort with them.
And they're a constant. That's the thing about animals. They, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, they don't betray us. They don't turn on us. So I think that's a wonderful suggestion. And I think what you're describing again is the value for kids to have pets. As painful as it is to lose a pet, the benefits and the gifts far outweigh the heartbreak if and when the pet passes. So I think it's really good that you talk about that, you bring that up. It's an important point.
Well, and let me just tell you, one of my girlfriends had a case where the husband and wife had three dogs, and then they were getting a divorce, and they had been taking care of these dogs, and they had to live together till the house sold, because they weren't of the means where they could support two homes plus have that home. And one day, one of them came home and said, "Did you feed the dogs?" And they said, "Well, you're saying you want the dog, so you feed them." And they said, "Well, you say you want the dog, so you feed them." Ultimately, neither one fed the dogs. The dogs died. They were both brought on criminal charges, as they should have been. Animals are a commitment. You have to care for them. They can't speak up on behalf of themselves. You need to do that. You need to make sure that you're honoring that commitment, regardless of the crap that life brings you. those animals did nothing wrong. Take care of them. If you can't, find someone who can put them in an adoptive home. Don't make them part of your messy life. They don't deserve that. They deserve the love and affection back that they gave.
I mean, again, what you're describing is when you take on having a pet, it's not that different from having a child. You at times are going to have to put your own needs aside to do what is right for your pet. And there, we've talked about this before. There are some people in this world who have pets, have kids, but really don't have the right because they're not able to give the pet or the kid what the pet or kid needs to be safe, to be healthy. So I think it's one of the reasons why the loss is so devastating. Burying your kitten is like burying a baby. It's not that different. Whether the kitten was 9 months old or 14 years old, those pets are like our babies. And if you're going to have one, you have to understand you're going to have to compromise sometimes your own needs to take care of your pet.
Absolutely. So, you know, animals, they're part of our lives. And we need to, I know they're not human. I know they don't have a constitution, but they ought to have one. And we need to take care of them like we do anybody else, feed them, water them, change them, take them to the doctor, and not fight over them. So it's devastating for them. And then if the worst happens, you get a divorce, use them as a tool of happiness for your children. And if you don't have children, don't fight over custody of them.
Oh my goodness, please don't, right?
Right. I mean, and I've had those, and that because they're deemed property, which is sad, couples try to do these custody arrangements. It always ends up in a problem, and then the judge has to give them to one or the other. And, you know, think about, love the animal more than you hate the other person. Love mm-hmm. your children more than you hate the other person. Love finds love. And if there's hatred, all you get back is hatred. So animals are put in this earth to help us survive, but also to give back love, and they deserve the best.
And the only other thing I want to say is we're getting ready to end. I want to say this to people. If you're someone that's recently lost your pet, like Judge Aquilina's daughter, and you're struggling to manage with your feelings, try to find people who really understand. There are going to be some people who are going to look at you kind of like they have no idea what you're talking about because they can't relate to the loss. Find people who can really relate and comfort you in your feelings, even if they don't understand exactly. It is important to know there are people out here who know what it feels like to feel heartbreak after you lose your pet. So I think it's really important. Your daughter's very lucky that she has a mom that's compassionate and understanding and caring. And I think I would encourage her, anybody else out here who's struggling with this kind of grief, don't minimize it. Don't act like because it was small and furry, it's not that big of a deal. It's probably the biggest deal that ever happened to you, and it may never feel differently than that, and that's okay.
And you might need to go to counseling, but certainly yeah. There are a lot of people who you can turn to, because 67% of all households in America have pets. And that's really about 85 million families in the United States. So if you think you're alone, look to a neighbor, look to your friend or their friend, or talk to your vet who can put you in touch with a grief counselor, a group who deals with this. There's so many people in the world who have animals. You will find love and understanding. So don't sit in the corner and cry alone, or do it for a little while and then dial a number. Don't take a drastic step like my uncle did. There's always someone like Sherry or someone like me to talk to, and we're happy to talk to you anytime. So with that being said, remember to, first of all, write your review if you love us, because we love you, on Apple Podcasts. And also, Sherry and I are traveling. We are speaking. So if your group needs a speaker on just about any topic, we're not afraid of any topic. So reach out and let's chat.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Warrior Women Speak. It is truly an honor to have conversations that are difficult to have, but that we need to have. Judge Aquilina and myself are so excited to announce that we are now doing speaking engagements in addition to our podcast. To learn more, you can email us directly at warriorwomenspeak@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen if you are enjoying what you're hearing. Until next time.